What's going on? This is Hoppy Hour. I am your host, Ryan Hoppy, and from the Covino and Rich show, Rich Davis is on the show. What's going on, man?
What's up, Hoppy? How are you, man?
I'm doing good, bro. So a lot has happened with you guys recently. I don't know how much you want to talk about it, but overall, since leaving SiriusXM, mental health-wise, because I'm assuming that was a huge thing for you guys to leave after 17 years. How was it for you and the crew?
Well, first of all, I want to tell you, we gave you a shout out on the show a day or so ago. Our producer Spot said you had the catchiest podcast name of all time. And I was like, I think I might agree. I think Hoppy Hour is up there. That's a top five podcast name.
Well, my Nana, it's the Southern version for grandma. She used to say, it's time for Hoppy Hour, like when I was 5 years old. So then I just wanted to do a radio show like that someday.
You know what? Sounds perfect to me, man. Well, as far as mental health goes, it's a shock, right? You work somewhere for a long time. And even when you go through negotiations and something doesn't work out the way you want it to, you still are like, okay, I know it's coming. But when Covino said the other day, he goes, they're playing a best of today. This is like last Friday. He's like, that's the last time Covino and Rich will be on SiriusXM. And for some people that have been listening for over a decade or so, that's the first time that we have not been on SiriusXM. And I'm like, that's a pretty crazy thought. But, yeah, I guess every good thing comes to an end, right? You got to look at it that way. No one lasts forever anywhere.
Are you happy with what you guys did? Because I know I interviewed Jason Ellis like 2 years ago, and he said it wasn't that he wasn't happy with what he did, but he said in quote that he was trying too hard for the king shit of trying to be Howard, trying to be the next king of all media, and that. I don't know the full quote, but he said he was focusing too much on trying to be Howard and not being Jason in the beginning. Are you guys happy with what you did? Because obviously the main names there were Opie and Anthony and Howard, but you guys were there for 17 years and you guys have a massive fan base. So are you able to leave happy about it?
Yeah, you know what? It's a weird thing, right? Because you never want to leave somewhere. It's comfortable, right? No matter what, and you can compare it to a relationship. No one really ever wants to leave, right? You could be in a relationship that's great or crappy, and no one's really going to want to be the one that says, all right, see ya. There's a part of me that feels like I would never have left SiriusXM until they told me to leave, right? So perhaps sometimes when someone forces your hand or gives you an offer that you can't take or something like that, maybe sometimes that's what you need because you wouldn't have made that decision yourself, right? I mean, that's how Covino and I are sort of looking at it. Like, hey, if we're entering the Patreon world, the podcasting world, the streaming world, and we're trying to explore newer media, is it better that this happened now or in 6 years from now or 5 years from now or 10 years from now? It's probably better that it happened now before we're way late to the party. So we're trying to take the positive approach that, like, we didn't want to be late to that party. And now, SiriusXM forced our hand,
I think it was meant to be for you guys, too, because not to knock SiriusXM, but, I mean, there's not that much left. You know what I mean? Like, it's not the company it was when I first heard you guys 9 years ago. And I listened to so many podcasts and just listened to music all day that all it takes is one person to find you guys and then for them to tell five friends that I think you guys have a massive opportunity for your next chapter of the Covino and Rich show.
I mean, I like to think so too, Ryan. It's one of those things where, SiriusXM is still employing me. So it's like how do I describe this? You break up with someone, but you're still sort of friends with benefits. I'm still on Pop 2K. I'm still doing stuff on Hits 1. I'm still getting paid. I'm still getting my medical benefits. So I'm still an employee of SiriusXM, but I do see what you're saying. I mean, anyone from the outside looking in that's a subscriber or a fan of radio or podcasting or broadcasting, it's obvious that SiriusXM's going in a direction, right? And, that's for them to decide, right? I mean, you've noticed, I'm sure, a lot of shows and relationships haven't been renewed. And, you know, I'm guessing they have their strategy, and we weren't part of that strategy. But, you know, I'm happy to still work there in the capacity I am. You know, like I said, it might have been the right time for Covino and I anyway. We started the Patreon thing and got abnormally more support than I thought. So, I mean, there's a part of me that feels like if we keep building this, it might be a situation where we're better off than when we were serious, and then it was the right move, right?
So what I want to ask you too is, when you left and you went right to Patreon, was there a part of you guys, not that you wanted to give up, but was it kind of hard to begin over, or were you guys just so motivated to go right into it? Because a lot of times when radio people get let go, you don't hear from them for like 6 months. But I mean, you guys, the next Monday, we're back at it.
Yeah, I'll be honest. That was a deliberate decision, because you know what? We could have said, all right, Friday's our last show. Let's take a few weeks off to think about it. But there's nothing to think about. Covino and Rich was not going to stop. We were continuing. It was just a matter of, do we do Patreon? Do we team up with a podcast company? Do we do both? Do we, like, you know, we're exploring options. And we said, you know what? Like, what good does it do to stop at all? Because the reality is, there's momentum there, right? There's momentum and there's emotion. And Covino and I don't have the hugest fan base. We don't have millions of people like a Howard. But our listeners are passionate. And they can tell that Covino and I love what we do. And, you know, we got so much amazing feedback that my first thought was, hey, listen, I'm emotional. You're emotional. Our listeners right now, if they were going to follow us somewhere, pay for content, or follow us to a podcast, or whatever the case may be, let's keep going like Monday. What's the point of waiting a week or so? Because then you sort of lose that emotion. You know what I'm saying? Like, I give the analogy to Covino. Because we debated this, right? We were like, should we go on there Monday or take a week or so off? And I said, when the Bucks win the Super Bowl, right, what do they immediately show? Buy a Super Bowl t-shirt because the Bucks just won, right? You're playing off, you got to make sure you capitalize on the fact that you're feeling emotional, everyone's feeling emotional, let's keep going. If they started selling Super Bowl t-shirts a month later, would as many people buy them?
No. And I think it shows that you guys, obviously everybody that goes into radio or any form of entertainment has an ego. But I think it shows that you guys have minimal egos, because you know that, no offense, but you could be forgotten in 3 months if you wait. Because you look at some radio people that waited so long, and now it's like they went from being massive to people you never thought would be irrelevant to now being irrelevant. So I think it was brilliant on your part for you guys to humbly think, we got to keep grinding.
Yeah, no, I thought that immediately. And you're right, you can't have an ego in this game, because you got to realize that there's a lot of shows, there's a lot of people broadcasting, there's podcasting, there's streaming, there's YouTubers, there's Twitch, there's old school FM radio. There's a million outlets, right? So what's, and plus, when you just stop doing a show for the first time in 16 years, I mean, I've been doing the show Covino since I'm 24. I just turned 41. So we're talking about from the time I was early 20s to 40-year-old guy with kids. I've done the show every day. So what am I going to do? Just sit around and stew and think about, like, oh, what's my next move? Oh, and start pining and getting feeling sorry for myself? Or do we just, you know, pick it up and go? And honestly, the last couple weeks, the best compliment we ever got from people is,
right, you guys didn't skip a beat. It's like the same show, just, you know, you're just doing it somewhere else. And that's exactly what we wanted. We were like, why are we stopping this? We don't want to stop it, so why stop it at all?
I think this is going to sound a little weird, but because I'm a fan of you and I like your posts, you're one of the first people that shows up on my Facebook, you and some other radio people I'm friends with, more than people I grew up with. And I remember a month ago, you shared a picture of your wife, and it was one where she was like a model, and then the next one was her looking like a worn out mother. And I thought that picture was the perfect way to express how you guys have grown up, everybody that's in the Covino and Rich universe, because you guys like went from shock jocks to like being relatable middle-aged guys. And I think that's what you guys have done so well. And I'm not trying to kiss your ass, but there's so many radio guys who like never quit talking about semen and all of the grossness of sex. But like you guys, I don't know when you guys flipped a switch. Because when I began listening in 2012, you guys were more vulgar. But, I mean, you guys flipped a switch, and it's sort of like that picture, like everybody grew up.
Yeah, you know what it is? It would Covino brought this up the other day. If someone ever says to you, if someone ever goes, yo, Ryan, you changed, man. Like, you should thank that person. Be like, oh, thanks. Because if, Ryan, if you're the same guy at 16, 26, 36, 46, I mean, who would want to be the same person? If I was the same guy at 24 when I was, you know, living in Hoboken, New Jersey, like, you know, dating and, you know, single guy, if I was the same guy now, I mean, it would almost be sad, right?
Yeah.
You have to evolve. The reality is, you know, he doesn't need my props. But, I mean, look at Howard Stern. He went from throwing a salami at strippers' butts to doing in-depth interviews, and you know, if it happens slowly over time, people don't necessarily realize how drastic the change is. You know,
there's this radio guy who, I'm from Chicago, so like there's a lot of local DJs back in the day that were making millions that now are like either, as we say it in radio, on the beach or doing podcasts. And there's this one guy who probably made 20 million and he dyes his hair. He looks like he did in the 90s, and like he's beyond irrelevant. And to me, it's the saddest thing. Like when these macho dudes that work in male driven radio can't grow up. You know what I mean? There's something really sad about when you see somebody who is a part of the AARP club trying to be in the 90s, you know?
Oh yeah. No, I think sometimes I compare radio to wrestling, right? There was a time before your time, Ryan, you're younger than me, obviously. There was a time when wrestlers never came out of gimmick, right? Like if, you know, Macho Man Randy Savage went on a late night TV show, he didn't break character. He was like, oh, yeah, Macho Man, he's in character. If the Million Dollar Man was on a Regis or Letterman or something, he would show up as the Million Dollar Man. And there was no gimmick break. And I used to feel like radio people would do that, and they would like, pretend to be younger, pretend to be different, pretend to be someone they're not. And I think very quickly people are like, nah, social media is here. We can see who you are. We know who you are. And if you're not genuine to who you really are, it's like such an obvious thing. If some guy's sort of like a nerdy loser and he's trying to be like, hey, on the radio, my name's Hollywood Jackson, and trying to be all cool, people are going to see right through that. So I think being genuine in who you are and growing up appropriately is important.
This is going to sound really weird, but a lot of radio people have controversy. Some of them go to jail. Some of them go bankrupt. Is there a part of you and Covino and Spot and everybody on the team that you guys take pride in, even though you guys were edgy and even though you guys were a little controversial, that you guys never like have anything in your past that could cause you to get canceled?
You know, it's funny you should say that because Covino and I sometimes feel like one of the things that, like, not kept us from getting to that next level, but we're almost like too normal, where that's our best attribute and something that could potentially hold us back. Like, the fact that we're just normal guys, it makes us more relatable than any show. But you know what? But normal guys also makes us, you know, unable to do something crazy or get that attention because we're not going to get arrested. We're not going to streak down the, you know, main street in town and get arrested for some zany bit or something. And, you know, that's just not who we are. Like Jason Ellis, right? Jason Ellis is a great broadcaster. He has a story that I don't have. And, you know, he's brave enough to tell a story. You know, from what I hear, the stories, he has rough childhood and, you know, a lot going on. I don't have those stories. You know, he would go on Stern and shove M&M's in his dick. Like, that's to me, like, but that's what makes him awesome for him. But you think Covino's doing that?
Yeah. I don't see Covino. I mean, I met Covino when you guys came to Tampa a year and a half ago, and he's so, like, outspoken on air, and he's like a chill dude off air. Like, it was not what I expected at all. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, no, it's, as Covino says, we're like normal, nice guys in real life, which almost makes him a little boring off the air. Just when you're forced to have an opinion, that's when you know, Covino's one of the most fun opinionated guys on the radio, but off the radio, he's not that way because he's not being forced to give his opinion. Like, if you ask Covino, hey, what's your opinion on some stupid canceling Pepe Le Pew story? He'll give you his opinion, and it'll be hilarious and a strong opinion. Off the air, he's like, yo, bro, I don't care, bro. So, you know, it's who we are.
Now, the one thing that I find unique about your fan base, and I think it goes back to you guys being nice but being edgy at the same time, is that there weren't really any attacks on Sirius when you guys left. Like, people obviously canceled, and people were outspoken about it, but I think even if you and Covino, you're not going to break up, but even if you guys did break up, I just never see your fans, like, turning on you, you know?
Well, you know what it is. It's I'm not saying some people aren't, but I'd like to pride myself on being a pretty good businessman. I mean, as far as like with my finances and taking care of things and whatnot. So the last thing on earth I would ever want to do is to burn any bridge, because I've worked now with people at different places in the entertainment industry, television and radio, where I thought I'd never see that person again. So what good would it do me to, you know, cheer people to cancel their subscription? I don't want them to cancel their subscription. I still work there. Follow us to Patreon, but hey, still have Sirius if you want. I think I'm smarter than that, to be honest. I think you got to play these situations smart. Like, even when we announced on the air, guys, tomorrow's our last show, I didn't want people to call up and be like, I'm canceling. I wanted people to call up and be like, that sucks, guys. Wherever you go, I'm coming. I want the support. I'm not a spiteful, vengeful guy. That's not who I am.
Now, the other thing I was thinking about, too, is when I got let go from one or two radio jobs, one was me getting fired and one was just layoffs, there were some people within the building that would unfriend me. And there's been people that have been let go from my job. I record this show, Hoppy Hour, and then I work on the weekend and occasionally during the week at 102.5 The Bone. And when there's been people that have been let go for bad reasons at The Bone, I will unfriend them. So has there been anybody, even though you are working at Sirius and you're doing Pop 2K and Covino's working there, has there been anybody that's kind of quit talking to you?
No, we've been there so long. In fact, we're getting a lot of employees hitting us up being like, wait, why? Like, I think there's been more questions from people in all different departments as to like, why did this happen? And I think a lot of people saying this sucks. A lot of people thinking they made a bad decision. And like I said, there's no bad blood. I hate to be boring about it, but there really isn't, because it's, like I said, as Covino pointed out on our Patreon and on our show towards the end, we were offered a contract. It was just a contract that we couldn't accept because it was a non-compete and the money wasn't right. So it was a situation where it was like, we couldn't say okay to that money, not be able to work anywhere else. And it didn't make sense. We had to say no. So, in another world, we would have said yes and still been there, but it wouldn't have been right.
Have you guys gotten any messages or any people that have joined your Patreon page that had never heard of you prior to your 17 years at Sirius?
Yeah, I mean, we're as of right now, because listen, we have a short-term goal and a long-term. Short-term goal was to get this Patreon going and, get people involved, right? And that worked like a charm so far. Now it's like, hey, can we get everyone listening to maybe get a friend and give it a shot? Hey, tell your friends. Hey, listen to these guys, $5 a month, give it a shot. And we're getting a lot of people saying, all right, I'm finally listening to my friends who love you guys. So we're getting a lot of that. And the other goal, part two of that, is to just find the right partner. We're still trying to, figure out who the right partner is to maybe do a once a week or twice a week podcast for free that would, drive people to Patreon, and the Patreon would drive people to that. So it's like you know, just more content. And the one thing I have noticed, Ryan, is that people are loving the video feature on Patreon. It sort of brings the show to life in a new way. It makes me mad that we didn't do more videos sooner, but SiriusXM didn't have those capabilities.
Okay, so this is a thing I kind of worry about a little bit, but it's also my overthinking of just being crazy. But if you guys are getting let go from Sirius and Jason Ellis is getting let go from Sirius and there's people that have been laid off by iHeart, Cumulus, all these radio companies, what's the future? And what I mean by that is all of the people that do well in podcasts, they all had a previous fan base and they're making great money or even good money because they had a fan base. My show does well, but I have big aspirations for what I want to do, but there's no jobs out there. So what's the way to grow your Patreon and get it out there, or grow your podcast and get it out there, if you don't have the 17 years of being on Sirius or the years of doing anything?
You know what, Ryan? I never really thought there was a one-way answer to success in radio and broadcasting. You know, some people be like, oh, intern at a big place and, you know, find your way on the air there, or start small and build up bigger market. There was never really a way. Now I think there's even less of a direct, like, real answer, because the reality is you could be fantastic on TikTok and, you know, Instagram, and all of a sudden you put on a podcast and you get tens of thousands of people listening to you because they like your content online. And because of that, now you're ranked on, now you're in the top 100 of comedy or sports podcasts. Like, it's a really weird path. And I think social media is a big part of it for younger guys like you. That would be my guess. I think it's tough though, because in guy culture, you know, Covino and I do, you know, it's more of a guy talk show. A lot of guys that are like 30, 40 years old, you know, don't live and breathe social media. So it's a little tougher, right?
Now, I don't know how much younger your wife is, but my girlfriend is only 4 years younger, but she's the first year of Gen Z, and I'm 27 and she's 23, so I'm in a different generation. And bro, I can feel it more than anything. Like, I know if I really pushed my TikTok game, I could get a thing out there and grow some traction and clout. But dude, it's so overwhelming. It's like I officially feel like the old man on the front lawn. You know what I mean? Like,
it's another job. It's another job. And I said that to Covino the other day. I said, listen, every time there's a new social media that pops up, you're right. I mean, from Covino and I being on MySpace in the 2000s, to Facebook, to Instagram, to Twitter, to TikTok, to everything that's going on, there's always a new one. And then you're thinking, like, so that's just one more place I need to put up content? You know, and then you got to figure out what you want to put up there. Like, I have an idea of what I'm going to start posting more on my own personal TikTok, and I have an idea of what I want to do. But I'm not going to tell you yet, but I'm going to do some cool stuff, because I just feel like we need to do that. Like, every platform needs to be taken care of. It's weird.
So here's an thought that just came into my head. So if I were to do TikTok videos, or you and Covino were to do TikTok videos, a lot of the Gen Z and even 12-year-olds, which is weird to say, but like all the young people that are on TikTok, I don't know if they would go to a podcast or go to a radio show or Patreon. And this is going back to me saying, how do you get a bigger podcast? But the way I'm going to reword it is, what's the key to like promoting it, but not coming off like an infomercial? Because I've made radio posts of me board hopping the shows on the weekend on TikTok, and it'll get like 20 likes. But then I put up a video last year of me watching Death Wish, and it was everybody getting murdered. And then it was my cat walking towards me like there was nothing in the world. And it got like 150 likes and maybe 20,000 views. So like, what's a way
it's,
to, it's weird.
This is really funny, because Spot, Covino, you know, I'll bust his balls a little bit. Covino's the most old school. I mean, he's also the oldest. You know, he's in his, you know, he's what, 43 now. He's the Tom Brady of radio, 43. Where is he, 44? I don't even know. But it's crazy to think, because your instincts, right, are your instincts as a radio guy or a guy that likes broadcasting are to say, all right, I got a really funny bit on my podcast, or
really good clip when I have this guest on my show. Let me post that. Then you post it, and you're like, oh, man, it really didn't get much traction. And then you post a pic. Then you post a picture of you sitting with your flip-flops on the couch, like next to your cat or something, and everyone's like, oh, I love it, Ryan. And Spot and Covino and I have this debate all the time because Spot, one of us could post, like, a stupid personal item, and it gets, you know, thousands and thousands of likes and views within a, within an hour. We could post a clip of us with an A-list celebrity, and no one cares.
Well, you know what's weird, too, is I'm convinced within the last 2 years, I believe it's been since Mark Zuckerberg went to, he went to talk to the government when he was being interviewed. I'm not a very political person, so I don't know the proper way to explain it. But ever since he got in trouble for giving away our info, they changed the algorithm. I am convinced because whenever I share a link to my podcast or even a video, it's getting like 1/6 of the views it got. But bro, yeah. I have a gorgeous girlfriend that I don't want to see is out of my league and talk myself down, but she is gorgeous. And if I post a selfie of us, it gets 20 likes in 10 seconds. So I'm convinced there's an algorithm that shows beautiful people first over hardworking podcasters.
No, I feel it, man. It's an uphill battle, but you know what? I thought this the other day, because I spend a lot of time, and if I could give you any advice that doesn't have to do with podcasting, it would have to do with not letting yourself, not letting your mind be consumed with worry, right? Like If the one thing I got out of this whole like SiriusXM leaving there, starting Patreon, trying to figure out our future, like, you know, a lot has happened in 2020, 2021. My biggest takeaway is there's so many people, you know, like you're pretty blessed, man. There's so many people that struggle. So many people are going through a tough time. So if, like just don't stress the little things, right? You really like, you're going to be an older guy and be like, yo, why did I stress that?
I think of that all the time. Anytime I'm sitting around, I'm like worried or stressed. I'm like, I'm fine.
Why am I worried about this? When I'm an old guy, I'm going to look back and say, why was I so worried about that? So my only advice to you is all the things that you think you should be worrying about, don't worry about it. You're fine.
Dude, I was thinking about that this afternoon. So in St. Petersburg, there's an epidemic with homeless people and just an epidemic with people that are just walking down the road looking sad. And there was a guy who was completely tanned, but like in an unhealthy way. And he was wearing dirty clothes. And I looked at him and I was like, man, like, what am I worried about? But then I go into my house and I look at my podcast board and then I begin overthinking. And I think the key is we got to keep on thinking that, you know what I mean? Cause it's so easy to get off the route. It's like driving down a highway. Like you got to keep just going and you can't sidetrack yourself. You can't self sabotage yourself and begin thinking the old ways, if that makes sense.
No. And you know what? I always think of this too. I plan on being in broadcasting the rest of my career, but also think of it this way. If it doesn't work out, you're a really nice guy, Ryan. I've met you. You're a presentable guy. You're a handsome guy. You're young. There's a million things you could do. Honestly, there's a million different things you could do. So like there's never doom and gloom. Just look at it that way. I always think of that. I'm like, I talk to my wife. I'm like, you know, we have a house in LA, you know, we're going to be fine. Everything's working out for us. But I was like, you know, back worst case scenario, you know, we live in LA where every house is like million-dollar houses. We could live anywhere else in the country for like a fifth of the price and like probably not really work for a while. Like there's always options. Like, you know, people worry. I think people worry too much. There's a lot of mental health stuff. And I think a lot of it has to do with people just worrying about stuff they shouldn't even be worrying about.
COVID is weird because it's brought out some good where people are more open about mental health and people are not sweating the small things because of all the people that have died. And I got COVID. It wasn't fun. But at the same time, it's like there's so much overthinking, you know, because you're in Los Angeles, so COVID exists. I'm in Tampa Bay. COVID does not exist here.
I'm in Texas right now. I've been doing the show.
Really?
I'm in New Braunfels, Texas, outside of Austin. I'm doing construction on my house in California. I haven't been in California. I was there for like a week. I was in California for a week.
Oh, wow.
The last week of our radio show. But I've been in Texas. I'm in the backyard. Right, while I'm talking to you, I'm sitting in the backyard. You probably hear the birds in the background.
I'm shooting hoops. I'm chilling. There's a basketball hoop back here. Being the fact that you're 7 foot, I'm pretty sure you're good at basketball. I don't know. It's like I think about it all the time. I'm like, people worry about so much. And down here, man, I just came back from the gym. I think they don't think there's COVID down here. So, yeah, it's a different world.
Dude, it's weird, too, because I was talking to one of my friends that works in radio in Los Angeles, and it's like what Florida went through between March and May when COVID did exist here, like Los Angeles went through that for the last year. You know, like it's very fascinating how different parts of America experienced it. And I'm not trying to get like deep into COVID, but it was just fascinating. I was like, huh, like Los Angeles is just beginning to open up.
No, it's crazy. And you do realize quickly when you have friends in different parts of the country, like all my wife's friends and people she grew up with down here, not that they're careless. It's just they're, you know, people are living their lives with some caution, right? In California, Covino and Spot, like, having left their house because they're following what, I guess, the L.A. rules are. So, depending on where you live, you're right. People are living in different worlds right now.
So, this is what I like to ask the people that I interview on here that are in radio. When it's all said and done, after your 17 years at SiriusXM, and after everything you're going to be doing in your future, how do you want people to explain the show you're on? How do you want people to explain you off air and on air? Overall, in your universe, what do you want your legacy to be?
That's a good question. And I think it is that anyone I've worked with will say that I'm an easy guy to work with. You know, I'm a fun person to work with. If I work at your company, we have a good time. And I think I saw a clip. This left an impact on me, believe it or not. I saw a kid that was streaming on Twitch, right? He was probably playing Call of Duty or something, right? And he had like six people watching him, right? And someone came in his room and started saying, like, "Loser, you got six people watching you." And he didn't get mad. He said, "Yeah, I have a community of like six people, but they're like six good people. So if you want to hang and be cool, hang here. If you don't, then leave. No big deal. Like, I like the community I'm in." And I think, the thousands and thousands of people that have followed us to Patreon already, and hopefully more, patreon.com/CovinoandRich, why not give it a shot? I couldn't be happier. The stories I hear of people saying, like, they made lifelong friends because of our show. They met their wife because they took our advice on something. Or, hey, I'm handling this thing with my kid because I heard you guys talk about your kid. Like, people reach out with some of these touching stories that make me feel like we left an impact, or we on a daily basis leave an impact, and we're a good escape for people that have a lot of stress going on in their life. So that to me is enough. The fact that there's thousands of people around the country that have been affected by us, and the emails and feedback and social media things we get of people saying, like, "Hey man, I met my wife because he signed up for a MySpace page simply because we were telling him about MySpace, like in 08. And he's like, "I met my wife on MySpace 2 weeks later, and now I have two kids." And he's like, "To be honest, I can't really say that if it wasn't for you and Covino, I wouldn't have a wife and kids right now." And I'm like, that's bananas, isn't it? Like, you know?
It was fascinating going to your live show, because I've gone to a decent amount of live shows and I've met so many people on radio, and like, you guys had the most chillest event I've ever been at. Like, I can't explain it. Like, the crowd was rowdy and fun, but there weren't like any fights, man. It was just, and like, I don't even
because,
think,
you know why? Yeah, because birds of a feather flock together, man. And our crowd, our audience, if you go to a Covino and Rich event, you know, the hundreds of people that'll show up to a bar or a comedy club or whatever we do are normal, nice guys. Nothing wrong with like whack packers or like crazy people, but that's not our crowd, man. We appeal to people that are regular, cool guys living lives with girlfriends or kids or family situations or lives. Like, we have like a really good, I feel like we have the most quality listeners of any radio show / podcast out there. Like, it really is like a bunch of well-rounded men and women that are like young professionals. They're not like losers, to be honest. We have no losers, essentially.
Yeah, because like, I've seen people kind of go at you, like when you took that gun picture, but like,
oh yeah,
nobody like threatens to hurt you or like looks up where you live. Cause like if you would go on Reddit pages of other radio shows that I grew up listening to, it would get vile, bro. I was like, Jesus Christ, it's just radio.
Yeah. I never got that, man. To me, like, I mean, probably cause I grew up in a top 40 background, but like, When shock jocks rile up like weirdos, that to me is like, I don't know. I never feel like, not that I was the cool kid growing up, but I certainly wasn't like the misfit. And I feel like, you know, sometimes there's a radio show where it's like, oh, here's where all the misfits could hang out together. That's never been our show. Our show is where regular guys could escape, you know? That's sort of what I think.
Well, dude, it's been a lot of fun having you on the show. I look up to everything you guys did, and I just randomly found you guys 9 years ago. I signed up to listen to Opie and Anthony, and I think you guys were on before Jay Thomas or something. And I just remember I heard you guys, and I was like, damn, this is a good show. And I haven't got my paycheck yet, but tomorrow I plan on joining Patreon. I've had some bills to pay, but I'm definitely joining tomorrow.
Dude, I appreciate that. Yeah, anyone of the Happy Hour family wants to give it a shot, I guarantee you'll love it, man. If you like what Ryan does, same chill guy talk, patreon.com/Covino and Rich. Just search us, and I feel like anyone could catch up real quick. It's a fun listen. I have a question for you, being that you're a big Opie and Anthony guy. I think anyone that grew up on the East Coast or like, you know, talk radio, you know, has some type of admiration for, you know, the people that paved the way, the Howards, the ONAs, the Jay Thomases, the Bubba the Love Sponges. You know, these are the guys that did it before we did. You know, they're older generation.
ONAs.
Are Opie.
Go on.
I was going to say, are Opie and Anthony doing different things right now? Is Anthony still doing the compound stuff, right?
Yes. Anthony's doing the compound show, and then Opie, I think, lives at like a beach house and then does like Facebook Lives at like 5 in the morning. And then Jim and Sam are obviously Jim and Sam.
Yeah. Yeah, I wondered that because I was like, Opie made a nice living, man. That show was super successful. So I know he probably invested well and he got millions, but I wasn't sure if he was still actively doing like a daily show anywhere.
It was weird how fast like just radio changed. Like it was like it seemed like everything. So I was born in 93, and I know that's going to make you feel old, but it seemed like a lot of the shows just kept on doing their thing, and then it was like middle of the 2010s, and like a lot of things just changed in a second.
Oh yeah, no, it's I'm amazed. Like I always wondered if Opie and Anthony would get back together just for the just to see if that audience would reform. I always wondered that, but I know that's probably, you know, probably a little too late for that now. But I always thought that would be interesting. It's like when a band gets back together and they go on tour, like, you know, people show up. I wonder if they did something together, if people would be like, yeah, they're back, or people wouldn't care. I don't know.
I think they would care, but I also think you can't let time go by so much, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like I said, that's why we did a show on Monday. You know what it is? I'll end it with this, and I'll let you go. Back in the day when I was a younger guy your age, guys did stupid things. Remember the movie Swingers? That was even before my dating son. That was in the 90s. Guys used to do some dumb thing like wait 3-5 days to call a girl. Or some, you know, it was like the 3-day rule.
Yeah.
If you're single now, if you're not DMing her or hitting her up or Snapchatting her or whatever form of communication people are doing now, if you're not talking to her within hours, yo, you may lose that opportunity. Like people can't wait. People have no patience now. So, I mean, it's crazy how people used to be patient. People have no patience. People want instant gratification. No one's waiting 3 days to call someone anymore.
Oh no!
If a radio show or TV show goes off the air for a year or so because of a break, like there's certain TV shows that have been off the air because of COVID, and I'm like, man, do I want to watch that show anymore? Because it's been off for a year. Like Game of Thrones was the only show that people like would have the patience for it to come back to years later.
And by no means am I a Casanova, but the way I got my girlfriend was I was talking about being single on the Mike Kelta show here in Tampa, and she added me on social media, and I immediately said within 4 messages, what's your Snapchat? Because I was like, she's pretty. I was like, and that's what I would do on Tinder and Bumble whenever I would get a girl's number, is for anybody out there that needs advice from macho man like me, you got to get them off the app because we are literally replaceable. There are 100 dudes trying to bang that girl.
Oh no. Dating now is scary for even me. And when I was a single guy, I was pretty successful in the dating world. I had a fun time when I was a single man, but I have friends that are attractive now, men and women, who are very self-aware that they are very replaceable.
I remember one of my female friends that's very good looking that, you know, she was dating some good looking personal trainer dude, you know, not the stereotype, but like he was just on to banging some other hot girl he met at the gym like 2 months later and like totally ghosted her. And I'm like, well, that's how we are. And that's how life is now.
Well, dude, I think the lesson of this podcast is you are utterly replaceable. Nothing is forever, but everybody needs to sign up for Covino and Rich.
Patreon.com/CovinoandRich. Ryan, you the man, and we'll chat again soon, buddy.
Awesome. Thank you, bro.
All right. Later, man.
All right. Bye.